me, if you would, to Ephesians, the fifth chapter. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. We'll talk about three results of being filled with the Spirit. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. Are you there? Pretty close. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Heavenly Father, once again, we open up the book, your book, in its life and life abundant. Help us, Lord, to rightly divide your word today. Anoint our lips of clay and our ears to hear. In Jesus' name, amen. The Bible starts off here telling us we ought to be filled with the Spirit. Having the fullness of the Spirit of God is contingent upon the believer's response to the grace that's been given you. I want to be filled with the Spirit of God, don't you? It says here, be filled with the Spirit. Don't be filled with drunken wine where it's in excess. Don't be filled with wine, it says, where it's excess. But I want the fullness of the Holy Spirit in my life, and to have that, that type of sanctification that I can attain, I have to yield myself to God. Yield myself to the Spirit of God so that I might have what I need in Him. The Bible very plainly here teaches us that we can't be filled with the Spirit if we're drunk with wine. That's crept into the church this last century. It's just people feel like we can drink intoxicating beverages and still be okay with God. The Bible here very plainly, of course, it calls drunkenness, but I still believe that if even a taste can lead to drunkenness, and you ask a alcoholic, it's been on the 12-step program and different things, and they're refraining from it, and God's delivered them from it, but they'll tell you it's not the last drink that gets you, it's the first drink. And so I think that, if they get a sip of it after they've been off of it for a while, it kicks it right back into where they were oftentimes. And so I think the Bible's very plain that we ought to abstain from intoxicating liquor. But I'm not talking about that today. I'm talking about being filled with the Spirit of God. And I think as a Christian, each one of us ought to desire more of the Spirit of God in our lives. It's an overcoming spirit. It'll help you overcome evil. It'll help you overcome sinful practices. It'll help you understand when you have crossed a line and missed the mark. And so there's things that you and I need. We need to be filled with the Spirit. And if we do that, we won't fulfill the lust or the deeds of the flesh. The Bible teaches us that those that do follow the deeds of the flesh and the things of the flesh shall not inherit the kingdom of God, according to Galatians 5:19-21. When you practice things that are opposed to God and the things that are opposed to the leading of the Spirit of God, the Bible very plainly teaches us we shall not inherit the kingdom of God. I don't know, I'm pretty certain about you, and I know about me today, is that I want to inherit the kingdom of God. I want to go to heaven one of these days, and to do that, I must let my life be filled with the Spirit. Because the Spirit of God, I have to submit to Him, and if I submit to the Spirit of God, then things are going to be much different. I heard a preacher talking today, and let me try to get his phrase correct, but basically he was saying, if you are a Christian who practices sin and it does not bother you, then you are not a Christian. For a Christian who sins, we all do at times, do things we shouldn't do, the Holy Spirit then convicts us, it bothers us, in other words, we are convicted, and we are not happy until we rectify that through repentance. And so a person that can be happy sinning, he says, you're just not a Christian. Because a Christian can't be happy sinning. A Christian can't have joy when they're sinning. So I submit to you that we must submit to the Holy Spirit so that we won't begin to give in to the deeds of the flesh. And so we want to be full of the Spirit of God. So first thing, one benefit result of being filled with the Spirit of God is that you will be able to speak to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, verse 19, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. In other words, the joy of the Lord is your strength. We go back to the well of grace and we keep drinking from it. What is it? Well, I go keep coming back to the well of grace. Great is its power, sweet is its taste. Whenever temptation and trials I face, I keep coming back to the well. In other words, I keep myself filled with the Spirit of the living God. With joy, I drink waters from the well of salvation. Isaiah chapter 12, verse 3, I believe it is. With joy, I drink water from the wells of salvation. So I'm able then to speak to myself in psalms. I make up songs. As a Christian, that's legal. You may not sing it in public, but you can make up your own song. And you make it up, and it's a praise to God. And because you're filled with the Spirit of God, and because you're filled with the Spirit of God, you can't help but be happy. You can't help but be joyful. You can't help but sing a song. You can't help but be making melody in your heart. You can't help but sing and lift up the name of Jesus and continually be filled with the Spirit of God. That's one of the results of being filled with the Spirit, that you sing. It may not be pretty, but you sing. It may not rhyme and it may not flow with the ebbs and flows, a flow of a real song, but you sing. Or if you just absolutely can't stand your songwriting, you pick out a good song that you really like and you learn it and you sing it. You know? I mean, you know, you strike up a Kenny Henson song and I can probably sing most of it with you. It won't be pretty, but I can sing it. Why is that I can do that? Because there's something about the Spirit of God that wells up in me when I start hearing some of those old songs. And it makes me want to sing to the Lord, and it gives me joy, and sometimes it digs me out, and sometimes it makes me weep, and it makes me just want to praise Him. Why? Because I'm making melody in my heart. I'm speaking to myself in songs, in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Every now and then I just like to sing Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound, a song that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was lost, but now I can't even get it right. Now I was blind, but now I see. I was blind right then, Sister Barbara. My tongue got wrapped around my eye teeth. I couldn't see what to say. Either that, I was having a senile moment like one of our sisters in the church says she was having this morning when she gets out of the car and comes into the church and leaves her car running. I have problems with that because she's about my age. And I think, oh, Lord, she's already there, and that's what I've got to look forward to. Getting out, running in the church, leave my car running. If I'd known she didn't do it on purpose, I'd have moved that car. I've done it before. Sister Linda Hurst used to park hers in the door at the church in town. She'd do that every cold night. They'd go start her car, and she'd pull up right in the door, and all these people were lined up wanting to pick their families up, and her car would be right there in the door. She's in there just a gabbing. Wasn't no hurry to leave, so I'd just get in and I'd move it. They'd come out, where's my car? It's not here. Everybody else was getting in their cars and getting to get pick their families up and go home, though. You know? I'd have hit it if I just thought. I got you goat, wouldn't I? Church, it's a good life living for the Lord. It's so wonderful knowing my reward. Every day anyway, it's a good life living for the Lord. I can't get to. Yeah, every day is precious love I can't enjoy because it's a good life living for the Lord. Aren't you glad for Jesus? Well, I tell you what, you can call me gone because I'll be leaving. And I'll be gone one of these days and you'll be grieving if you're left here without Jesus to call on. Amen. But we're going somewhere one of these days. We're going to heaven. And the joy of the Lord is our strength today. So you might as well just make up your mind that you're going to be spiritual. You're going to be filled with the Spirit of God. And you're going to sing. And then secondly, what it causes us to do? It's what we're supposed to do all this week. And we talked about some this morning. And I finally got there. After I got through with all the other stuff I got there. Giving thanks always for all things. Giving thanks always for all things. That's what it says. Unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Giving thanks always for all things. When you're filled with the Spirit, you sing. But then you give thanks for everything. Preacher, you don't know what I'm going through. Give thanks. You're coming out on the other side. It's going to get better before it gets, it might get worse before it does, but it's going to get better. Give thanks. Praise the Lord anyway. Praise Him when you're down as well as when you're up. Praise Him when you're sick as well as when you're healthy. Praise Him when you got money and praise Him when you don't. Praise Him when everybody in the whole world seems to be mad at you, and praise you when everybody's praising you. Praise Him. Give the Lord thanks. The Holy Spirit causes you to give thanks in all things. Well, preacher, they're about to take my house away from me. Give God thanks. He's got something better for you. Just give God praise. But you don't understand. No, I don't sometimes. I can rehearse my life to you, and you don't want to hear all the bad that I went through, do you? I tell you what I can do, though. I can sit down right now. My wife, I was talking about the other day, we went through a period in our life about 5 or 6 years that before we was in the church. I've had some really rough times since I've been in the church, but before the church, I had some tough times too. And I can't even remember some of it now. But I know that God brought me through. I can remember a winter when I had a truck, a semi-truck. I didn't work for weeks, and we ate every meal. We paid our electric bill. We paid our tithe. We didn't have no money. We still paid tithe and gave offering to the church. How'd you do that? I don't know. I don't remember how it happened. I just know God came through. I don't know how many. I got so sick of Scrabble that winter. Then never turned my electricity off. Never missed a house payment. Bought all the groceries we needed. Went to my preacher one time, said, "Preacher, I need some help." And he said, "Ask somebody else. I ain't going to help you." I didn't ask him no more. That kind of hurt. That stung a little bit, you know. I thought, well, okay. He told me, "Go ask your father-in-law. He'll help you." Dude, I'm asking you so I won't have to ask my father-in-law. Guess what? Neither one of them helped me. We made it through without it. God just supplied it. It just showed up. God took care of my family. I'm thankful for that. I don't know how we got by that winter. I finally got some work to do. I went out to start my truck. All the fuel are running to the wrong tank. You understand? One of them semis, they got a balancer. In one tank, it sucks the fuel out of it for it to start fire, and it just keeps balancing itself out, and all the fuel run to the wrong tank. It wouldn't start, Brother Roger. I sucked air. You suck air into them injectors into your pump, you're in trouble. I was broke. I had to call a mechanic to help me get the air out of my injectors. God came through. I've learned to give thanks in all things. I just had to praise Him for it. Thank you, Jesus. You learned to do it. Why? Because you're filled with the Spirit. And so He causes you to give thanks in everything. When it's good, you give thanks. When it's bad, you give thanks. I love that movie, Facing the Giants. I haven't watched it in a while, but that's what the coach finally determined. He had everything. You know, his whole life was a wreck. His whole life was a wreck. His old car wouldn't run. He needed a vehicle. His team was lousy, couldn't win a game. Nothing was going right, but there was one man praying. He'd come to that school. You've seen the story. He'd come to that school, and he prayed over that school every day. And that coach determined, when it's going good, we're going to praise Him. When we win, we praise Him. When we lose, we praise Him. We're going to give God thanks in all things. And everything turned around. And that's how it really works, church. That's not just some fictional view of God. That's how it works for God's people. In everything, give thanks. And when you're full of the Spirit of God, in everything, you will give thanks. God tested us through that time my wife and I went through back in the 80s before we called to preach. I knew I was called to preach, and God was testing us, setting us up to be able to trust Him when we stepped out into ministry, to know that we could trust God, that God was faithful. And we don't look back. When things are bad around the church financially, we say, oh, God's going to come through. God's going to come through. We're just going to praise Him. God's going to come through. Guess what? He has. Always has. Now we're in a season we don't have to worry about it as much, and God just keeps coming through, and God just keeps blessing. So in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you, and if you're filled with the Spirit, you will give thanks. And then thirdly, you'll submit yourself to one another in the fear of the Lord. You'll submit yourself. See, submission to one another in Christ is a general spiritual principle. And it's to be applied first and foremost to Christian families. Submission, humility, gentleness, patience, and forbearance must be a characteristic of every member of a family and to the members of the church. Hear me? Hear what I said? We're going to have a humble spirit of submission. Why? Because you are submissive unto the Lord. You are submitting yourself to one another in the fear of the Lord because you are filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Haughty, selfish people are not walking in the will of God. They cannot be full of the Spirit of God if they are haughty and self-righteous and selfish. They are not filled with the Spirit of God. They cannot be. Well, preacher, how do you, you didn't see that there. Submitting yourself, it says here, speaking to yourself, and this is what it said, be not be filled with the Spirit of God. Speak to yourself in psalms and hymns and spirituals, making melody, giving thanks, and then submitting yourself. So if you're not submissive to one another, submissive to the leadership of the church, and submissive in your family, you're not walking in the fullness of the Spirit of God. You're not full of the Spirit of God if you're not submissive as you should. Even me as a preacher, I have to be submissive to those who have authority over me. I've learned that. I have to be submissive to those who are over me. I have a bishop. If he walked in that door and said, Brother Stone, I need your pulpit for a few minutes, I might say, Preacher, brother, could I ask you why and visit with him a minute about why? But I would, unless it was just something, a total bad doctrine he's wanting to promote in his church, I would say, Bishop, you have my pulpit. I'd give him the pulpit. I'd offer it to him. Here, yes, sir. Yes, sir. It's yours. Why? Because I'm submissive to my leadership. You know, I might tell you to do something. You say, well, why, preacher? Let me tell you why. And then you should say, okay, preacher, I'll do it. But on the other hand, if you're really submissive and being led of the Spirit of God, you would know that we wouldn't ask you to do anything that would be harmful to the body or harmful to you as an individual and say, yes, sir. Yes, sir, I'll do it. Because I know you wouldn't do anything intentionally to harm me. Amen? So we submit to one another in the Spirit. So submission is a principle and should be characteristic of each member. So we should submit to one another in love, or we yield to one another in love. Thinking about the best for those around us rather than the best for us oftentimes. Giving in to our will and submitting to your will so that something good could happen for both of us. You understand? Wives are to submit to their husband in love, yield to their husbands in love. Because the Bible sets it up as he's the head of the house. But he should be so much in love with you and so much in love with God and so full of the Spirit of God that he wouldn't do anything to harm the family. Now, grant you, there's a lot of men that aren't full of the Spirit of God, and a lot of them are in the church. And so you have to, you know, be very discerning there about that. But if you've got a godly man that's trying to follow, be led of the Spirit of God and trying to follow God, Christ, with all of his heart, then you should submit to him. Now, you may have some disagreements about some areas, but if they're not doctrinal issues, you need to submit to your husband. It's not going to be harmful. You need to submit. Oh, that's hard to grasp, isn't it? Well, if you want your child to submit to you as parent, don't you? Learn how to be submissive yourself. If you're a rebellious wife or a rebellious husband, the husband rebels against those in authority and charge over him, always griping about his boss because he wants him to do this and wants him to do that. And the wife is gripes about the way the husband leaves the home. Well, what do you think the kids are going to end up doing? They're going to find fault with everything you try to get them to do and say. And I know kids historically are going to always question why you want them to do that. Why? The best answer I can give them? Because I said so. But if I'm leading them in love and I'm following the Spirit, being led of the Spirit of God, and I'm full of the Spirit of God, that's all they need to know. Because they're the child. I'm the adult. They're the follower. I'm the leader. I am responsible for their spiritual well-being until they are out of my home, and then they can lead the way they choose to lead. You understand? So, Abigail, when you say, Mama, why do I have to do that? Because I said so. Yes, ma'am. I understand that you have my best interest at heart. Why can't I date that guy? Because I said so. Thank you, Mama. I know you have my best interest at heart. You must know something about that rascal that I don't know. But when I get 18, Mama, if he's still available, you know what I would tell you? When you turn 18 and he's still available and you want to go date him, pack your bags. Go do your own thing. Supply your own food. Buy your own car. Get your own gasoline. Buy your own clothes. Fix your own food. Comb your own hair. Cut your own bangs. I literally didn't recognize her when she walked into church this morning. She walked up behind her mom and was standing there, and I took a first glance. I thought it was you, Melissa. And I looked up, and I thought, well, no, that's not Melissa. And I started to say, Christina, who is that with you today? And I thought, oh, shucks, that's Abigail. Caleb walked by her yesterday. She said, hi, Caleb, or hi. Caleb said, hi, and just kept going. And I think she said, hi again. And he looked around and said, well, hi, and kept going. He didn't recognize her. He thought she was a girl hitting on him. His heart was doing somersaults. There's a strange girl, likes what I look like, and she's hitting on me. It was Abigail. Guys, we're to submit to one another. I know I got off track there for just a minute. We're to be submissive to one another. Thinking and trying to do the best for one another. There's too many selfish people in the church. And I know they're everywhere, but when it comes to the church, the church should be care for one another. So those three things, a result of being filled with Spirit, you sing, you're happy. You may not like your circumstances, but you're going to let the joy of the Lord be your strength anyway, and you're going to give God praise. Secondly, you're going to give thanks to God for everything. The good, the bad, and the ugly. You're going to do it. Then you're going to submit yourself to one another in the fear of the Lord. Why? Because I'm filled with the Spirit of God, and I want the best for all those around me. I want the best for my family. I want the best for my church family. I want the best for myself. And to do that, I'm going to be filled with the Spirit of God. Be led of the Spirit of God. I'm going to follow the dictates of the Word of God and allow God to fill me full of His Spirit. And to do that, I've got to pray. I've got to submit myself to the Lord. I've got to pray. Follow Him. Allow Him to fill me with His Spirit. It don't happen by leading a carnal life. And a carnal life takes place because we don't pray. We don't read the Word of God. And so if we don't read the Word of God, we don't apply the Word of God. So if we don't pray and we don't read the Word of God and apply the Word of God, we don't grow up in God. We continue to be baby Christians. I want to be filled with the Spirit of God. I want to be a grown up in the Lord. It's a shame when we got some 16-year-olds that are more spiritual, more grown up than a 50-year-old. I'm not saying this church is that way, but we do have people who are 50, 60 years old, been in church all their life, who are still baby Christians. They're still immature. They've never grown up in the Lord. still desire milk. It's a shame. But if we're filled with the Spirit, we'll grow up. We'll grow up. And I believe that we have a church that's growing up. Don't you? I believe people are growing up in the Lord. I see change in people's lives. I see people moving up a little bit higher in the Lord and are moving up higher, digging a little deeper. If you dig a little deeper, you'll move a little higher in the Lord. And they're not doing it for selfish gain. They're doing it because they love God and they want to draw near to Him. They want to be filled with the Spirit of God. So, be full of the Spirit, sing to the Lord, submit yourself to one another, give thanks in everything. For this is the will of God concerning you in Christ Jesus. And I'll tell you what, you'll grow up in the Lord. That wasn't too tough, was it? We are blessed. We are so blessed by the gifts of His hands. The Lord is good. The Lord is good. The Lord is good. Amen. Stand.